This is Totally Cool Tech, the show that brings you the hottest in cool technology. No matter if it's old school or new school, high tech or low tech, it's all still cool tech. Welcome, everybody. This is Totally Cool Tech Podcast Edition 549. You're kidding me. For Sunday, April 29th, 2012. I'm Norbert Davis, your host. Thank you for coming by. Hey, we got a really good show for you today. I've got a lot of stuff. I know it's been about 2 weeks. So yeah, I'm going to have a lot of stuff. Been saving some stuff up. Got some, you know, really cool stuff here that I've been kind of gathering throughout the week and put together tonight. Now, I'm calling this the You're Kidding Me episode because this week I learned something that my company has a benefit for us that I didn't even know about. Nobody really said anything about, but it's probably one of the coolest things out there, and a lot of people can get this. I'm sure if you work for a larger corporation, it's probably something that you can take advantage of. And this is the Microsoft Home Use Program. Okay, so if you're not familiar with the Microsoft Home Use Program, it's a program where software is available for you, full-term software. It's the and in my case, and I'm not sure if it changes from I guess organization or business or whatever, but pretty much the Microsoft Office Professional Plus 2010 package is available, or the Microsoft Office for Mac 2011 is available for purchase at a really discounted price, and I mean really discounted. So the Home Use Program is a software assurance benefit available to Microsoft volume licensing customers with active software assurance coverage on their Office applications. So employees who use the covered licenses at work are eligible to purchase these Office applications for use on a home PC during the term of their employment. The temporary license expires with the employer's software assurance coverage upon termination of employment with the covered customer. So as long as you're still working for them, I guess, you can use this. That's really interesting. I've been working for our company for 12 years, and this is just, you know, one of the benefits that came available. I'm not sure how long ago, but it's something I really, really like, because my wife has been asking for a good word processing program, and I've given her OpenOffice, and I've purchased some other ones that were not Microsoft Office, because I don't like, you know, the cheap versions of the Microsoft products, like the Works program and all that. So, you know, Microsoft Office has been a really great program. I use it at work all the time. I use Word, I use Excel, I use Outlook for my email and all that, and some of the other lesser utilized things like Publisher and PowerPoint every now and then, not really. And then there's a few other things, OneNote, which I haven't really gotten into, and I think I want to, which ought to be pretty interesting. So anyway, really cool stuff here. And it one of the things, eligible customers are allowed to purchase either Office Professional Plus for 2010 or Office Mac for 2011, but not both. And additionally, customers can purchase one of the other products available from their online store. Purchase each of the other on-blank products. And what do you have to do to get this? Well, you have to validate that you're an eligible employee. They must verify your email domain and program code is from an eligible participating Microsoft customer. So what they're going to do is they're going to ask you for your email address. If you don't know your code verification for the program, or the eligible program code, I guess they call it, just put in your application or your email address for this in their website, and they will email you at your work address. And you just have to basically respond, and then they'll give you everything you need to know. It just starts up, and you can start purchasing things. And the functionality of these products are available from the HUP, the Home Use Program, matches those of retail versions and provide all the benefits that you would receive if you bought it, you know, at the store. However, your right to use this software is tied to your company's continued software assurance coverage and your continued employment with that company. Your employer will notify you if their software assurance coverage expires. So as long as you're still working for them and they are still purchasing the software assurance program, as long as they're still covered by that, I guess, you can keep using this. So I wouldn't erase your other programs, at least not necessarily right away, but it's pretty cool. And how much does it cost? Only costs $10. That's right, $10, and you get full Office 2010, and that's Office Professional Plus 2010. The cool thing is you can go ahead and load this up onto 3 different machines. Okay, so if you want to do, say you have 5 machines, you're going to download this or purchase it twice. So you can purchase additional licenses for that. Say you have 5-6 computers in your house, you're going to need 2 licenses. You can go ahead and purchase 2 of those. Pretty darn cool. And I have 3 computers. I'm going to put them on my computer here. Put one already on my wife's computer, and then I'm going to put one on my wife's old laptop that the kids are using. So at least they have something for school. Really, really cool stuff. You just download it. It was like a 1 gigabyte download, so beware, it is a big download. Or you can go ahead and get that on DVD. So you can purchase a DVD as well. Not too bad. So pretty cool. And I loaded it up, and I'm going to be using it. So I'll let you know how that goes. For the next couple weeks here, let you know how it goes. And I might be putting my wife's email onto Outlook. I might be doing my own. We both have Gmail. Found a set of instructions on how to bring it in through IMAP and all that. I might test it out, see how it works. I'd really be interested to see how that flows, because I have several email accounts or Gmail accounts that I have flow into one. And I'm going to see, because with Gmail, I can respond back as to whoever that was originally sent to, which Gmail address that was originally sent to. I can respond back as that email address. I'm not sure if that's going to happen in Outlook. I would really be interested to see if it works that way. If it does, great. If not, well, I'll be sticking with Gmail. So, all right. Let me see. What else do we have? Going to have a few other things here. Some really cool stuff happened this week. The space shuttle left from Florida, went out to the Smithsonian. That was really cool. One of them flew over New York City. Going to have have a report on that. And a couple other really cool things that happened this week that I found, and I really want to tell you about it, because they're really, really cool. Got some Star Wars stuff in there. Like I said, the shuttle. Some other Star Wars stuff, that's right. And let's see, what else? Turning your iPad into a laptop. What else? Yeah, Microsoft has a home OS that they're pushing for home automation systems. So we're going to talk about a couple of those things. But first, I'd like to go ahead and tell you all about our sponsor. Because we've had a great sponsor here for a number of years, and especially here lately. And that is Citrix and their GoToMeeting. All right, being able to attach face to a name is very important. It enhances our relationships and the way we do business. But unfortunately, meeting all your clients and colleagues in person can sometimes be a little bit impossible. That's why I recommend to you GoToMeeting with HD Faces. It lets you meet face to face from anywhere in the world, even on the go from an iPad. How's that for cool? With GoToMeeting by Citrix, it just takes a webcam and a click to collaborate in group HD video. You can see your attendees eye to eye while collaborating on documents in real time. You feel instantly connected, even if you're thousands of miles apart. Plus, GoToMeeting is easy to use. For iPad users, just download the free GoToMeeting app and join in. Now you can start hosting your very own face-to-face meetings online today with GoToMeeting. My listeners can try it free for 30 days. Don't wait. For this special offer, visit gotomeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and use the promo code PODCAST. Be sure to use the promo code PODCAST, because that lets them know that you are listening and heard this from a Tech Podcasts member show. All right, pretty cool. Hey, free. Come on. You got to try it out. I know you got a webcam. You want to try this out. You can do it. Now, with the iPad thing, you can't start a show, but you can, you know, not start a show. You can't start a GoToMeeting session, but you can join in and attend one. That is really, really cool. So, all right, check that out. Click the Try It Free button and use the promo code PODCAST. All right. One of the cool things I found this week was on CNET. There's some cutting-edge technologies and things coming out at MIT, and there's a cool slideshow that I'll have a link for you that goes into all sorts of things that these geniuses are coming up with. They have this thing called the Augmented Product Counter Project, and it looks like a lamp, but it's more than that. It's an example of how different computer interfaces open up new possibilities for augmented reality applications. Inside the lamp is a computer in camera that detects a person's motions, allowing a person to tap a table and to pull up menus and photos and things like that. And there's a retail application for the technology where the person can see the information about the different products because there's a camera which a person picks up an object. And the computer can display additional information such as reviews or product comparison. So, you know, they have a camera, you know, a digital camera on the table. And this lamp is like looking at it, and it has a menu that's on there. It's projected onto the table. So if you pick up that camera, it'll give you a menu of all sorts of things about that camera or whatever that product is going to be about. That is really slick. Now, that might be something that, you know, in actual use, won't be a lamp or anything like that. Maybe it'll be a projector that's high up above the consumer table, you know, a place where the consumer will come by and take a look at the product. And so you won't see this lamp or anything, but it still have that stuff there. Maybe it's going to be projected, you know, from underneath with a camera up above so they can see what the person's doing. It's really, there's a lot to it. It's going to be really cool. They have other things for augmented reality. As far as my computer's acting a little slow because I got like about 2 million tabs open up, so it's really kind of slow. They have some shape-shifting things where they have, because of a person's movements, the way they move their hands, removes, it looks like a bunch of, you got to see it. I can't even describe it. It's called Recompose. It's a project where Tangible Media Group at the MIT lab is looking at how to use digital technologies to allow people to manipulate objects in completely different ways. So depending on the person's motions, and they're translated by a depth camera, which directs how, in this case, a bunch of squares on the surface move from below to above. They get raised and lowered depending on how the person's hands, where they're at, and all that kind of stuff. So that's kind of interesting. I'm not sure how they're going to use that in their augmented reality. There's a collaborative 3D thing with the use of an iPad and a special glove, and two people can basically, you know, do construction collaboration with CAD, things like that. Looks kind of interesting. And there's also a wrist sensor, which will help people work with or interact with smart buildings and potentially some other smart products. And who knows, maybe a vehicle, maybe an elevator in the building, things like that. That would kind of be different. Let's see what else. There's a gestural interface. You can use gestures and makes things move. A customizable guitar. That looked pretty cool. Some of the circuitry is actually built onto the face of the guitar itself, so you can customize the way it works. One thing I thought it wasn't really that great, because we're doing it right now, is use of smartphones to take pictures of products and find out the information about them, things like that. Let's see, they have something on autonomous vehicles that are actually able to see and react with their surroundings, and maybe make some like anticipated moves of what's going to happen. Maybe they can see someone, you know, turning in front of them and be able to react appropriately, things like that. So that's going to be pretty cool. There's a huggable robot that's going to be used for children. So it'll react with you. There's another robot with use of a smartphone display to make the face of the animal or the thing. A robocar, which is like a dash-mounted companion to dash-mounted companion to kind of help you out while you're driving. It if you ever saw was it Johnny Five? What was that show? I can't remember the movie name right now, but kind of has eyes that look like that, or like almost like Wall-E, but it's this little tiny thing that sits up on your dash. Actually, it's not kind of tiny at all. It's actually pretty huge. It looks like they used an Audi dash and built this little robot that sits there. It kind of watches what you're doing, makes sure you know you're not falling asleep, that kind of thing. But it interacts with you, so you feel like you have a companion in the car with you. So pretty cool. Works a little safety there. There's some other collaborative spaces that they're working on, a movable wall system for buildings and things like that, so you can change your apartment up or whatever on the fly. That's kind of cool. They're looking at glasses-free 3D displays, so they got some pretty cool stuff there. And what else do they have? Looks like they had a serious Arduino kit going on or something like that. So there's a whole bunch of stuff. You're going to have to take a look at this. I thought it was just really, really interesting. And then I also found out, I found an FAQ on the CISPA bill that went, it cleared the House of Representatives. But right now the fight isn't over. It's shifting over to the U.S. Senate. And CNET goes ahead and puts together a nice FAQ on what you need to know about this particularly controversial internet bill. You're going to want to know about this. It's the Cyber Intelligence Sharing and Protection Act. And it might, here's a quote here I found, it might waive every single privacy law ever enacted in the name of cyber security. So it's going to wipe things out, you know. And that was Representative Gerald Polis, a Colorado Democrat and one-time web entrepreneur, and said that during the debate. It'll allow the military and the NSA to spy on Americans, on American soil, and that goes against every principle this country was ever founded on. And that's true. You know, it's a little bit scary knowing that for any reason they want, they could spy on you. You know, they don't have to have a reason. They can just, we don't like the way he dresses today. I don't know. You know, I'm not typically a conspiracy theorist, but this just gives them way too much freedoms. I think there still needs to be the checks and balances of they need to say, hey, you know, we have some probable cause, judge, you know, go in front of a judge, get a court order, and then they can spy all they want as long as, you know, a judge believes that they do have reasonable suspicion on needing to intercept communications and things like that and spy on you privately. So there's still a lot of things that need to go on, you know, as they go to the Senate. And so hopefully, you know, this thing will, I don't know, hopefully it won't pass. I hope that would be a good thing. Maybe they can modify it, things like that, but kind of scary with where they're going with some of these things. What else do we have today? Yeah, I did find this pretty cool. It goes for about $50. It's a Chilling iPod ready-to-go radio cooler. Just push play, and this radio cooler is sure to keep your drinks cold and your party slamming. This soft-sided, fully insulated, portable cooler features a waterproof liner, so it allows you to take your drinks with you, or whatever you want to. You can put your lunch in there, you know, and keep everything cool. It comes with a shoulder harness and all that kind of stuff. Pretty cool, you know. Just hook up your MP3 player via the headphone connection, and you're ready to go. So for $50, pretty cool. We'll find out where that's out. I'll have the link for you on that one. Thought it was pretty slick. Where did I find that at? 7Gadgets. They always got some good stuff. And, hey, you know what? You've probably heard me talk about this before. I am a Desert Storm vet. And I saw this article here. It's alternative medicine for post-traumatic stress disorder by using Tetris. And for some reason, it's helping to treat post-traumatic stress disorder. And researchers at Oxford discovered that visual spatial tasks can help disrupt the mental imagery that is prevalent part of the post-traumatic stress disorder flashbacks. And what better spatial visual task is there besides playing Tetris? I mean, that's really, really good thing to play. And man, yeah, that, you know, hey, there's finally a great work for that. Something that can be useful. So, man, you know, and there's a lot of vets that are having troubles, and hopefully maybe, you know, the docs can use this to treat them, and that'd really be great, because they deserve all the help we can give them. All right. Speaking of the military, it looks like the U.S. Army is devising a non-lethal magic bullet for drone aircraft. I found this over at geeks.com. Geek.com. And I guess some of the LMAMS, the Lethal Miniature Aerial Munition System, which can tell you a lot about what's going on out there in the field. It's essentially a shoulder-launched unmanned aerial vehicle designed for short-term flights to drop bombs on small targets. And now the Army is looking to develop non-lethal warheads that would be able to be deployed by the LAMs and LAMs, I don't know. These are, you know, it might be a little bit more commonplace to be able to do that. Now, with the LAMs, the weapon is launched. It will acquire its target in less than 20 seconds, and it flies about 100 meters above the target and can circle for up to 30 minutes if there's not a clear shot. And currently, that means that on a very bad day for whoever it is on the receiving end, but the goal is that the non-lethal weapons program is just, you know, there to incapacitate the target. So there's some really cool stuff going on in that realm, and you might want to check this out. And this whole thing is costing less than like $500 a unit, which is pretty cool, I guess, you know. And if I remember seeing something about this before, this whole thing travels like in a backpack that a soldier will carry. And, you know, once they reach their destination, you know, they open up this backpack, assemble this thing really quick, and launch it and get it airborne. And I believe, you know, the operator uses something like a tablet device to, you know, to check their target out and all that kind of stuff, and operate it that way and select their target and go ahead and, I don't want to say make the kill or whatever, but, you know, attack the target or do whatever spying they need to do or whatever. So pretty cool stuff on that end. And speaking of things that fly, the space shuttle was flying over New York City this week. And, they, you know, that's pretty impressive. They got some really cool shots of the I think it's the USS Enterprise as it's going to... where is she going? I think she's going to the Smithsonian. So if you want to check that out, it's really cool. They got some really good shots of it over New York City, going flying by the World Trade Center, the new construction going on there, flying by this Statue of Liberty, the Empire State Building. And just over the New York City skyline. Really, really cool shots. These are some really cool photos. You know, I love the space shuttle program. I remember watching it when the Enterprise was being drop tested off of 747s back in the 70s. They go up there, you know, get that sucker up pretty high and then drop it and let it glide in and do the automatic landing testing and all that. And I remember one time, Nichelle Nichols, Lieutenant Uhura, was one time brought in on a PR thing to go on board the USS Enterprise, you know, fitting and all that. But really cool. Hate to see the shuttle program end. Hope we can get the new programs going, because, you know, America needs something showing how, showing our own people, you know, how technologically innovative we are, and that we can do anything when it comes down to it. We can put our minds to anything and solve problems. And I think the space program is probably one of the best examples of solving problems and not even knowing what they are. You know, we are able to solve things on the fly. If you don't believe that, check out Apollo 13. That was great, great use of technology, low tech, to solve a lot of problems out there in the middle of space for these guys. And a lot of great engineers back on Earth here, and a lot of great engineers out there in space. Three guys, very, very smart guys. All right, want to build your own radar system? Hackaday has a how to build your own radar system. This is pretty slick. Looks like it's made out of a couple of coffee cans and some electronics. So, yeah, this is really cool. And I guess the cans are based, they're can-based long-range antennas that you would typically see with like a Wi-Fi thing. And this is from DEF CON, which is pretty cool. So I guess they have a transmitting can antenna and a receiving can antenna. And they have a data acquisition ramp generator, video amp, a mixer, splitter, amplifiers, attenuators, all that kind of stuff built into this clear plexiglass box. This thing is awesome, and this is really cool. It's about a 45-minute video that's attributed to this thing here, so you're going to want to check that one out. If you like hacking things and want to make your own radar, this is the place to go. That is so cool. What else do we got? Nintendo is going to be releasing games digitally on the 3DS and the Wii U starting in August. And, you know, Nintendo has never been a big fan of digital content for its platforms, though they have improved over the lifetime of the Wii and the introduction of the 3DS. However, they still have a long way to go. And for instance, with the launch of the PS Vita, Sony promised to release every game in digital form day and date with the final version. So that's going to be pretty cool. And when they come out with this stuff, I guess Super Mario Brothers 2 is supposed to come out in August, you know, for the 3DS and the Wii U when it launches. You're right in time for that. And that is going to be cool. I've got the Nintendo Wii. I don't know if that's going to be working for me. I guess a Nintendo Wii U. I don't know. We'll have to check that out. But found that over at Geeky Gadgets. We'll have the links for all these things. And got some more photos of the shuttle. Oh, got a really good one. It's a good one with a video over, where did I find it? It's that techie blog. And a great shot of the shuttle over the Statue of Liberty. Yeah, it's just a great, great shot right there. I don't know if that one was Photoshop cut together, but you know, gosh, that's a great looking shot anyway. All right. Hey, there's six ways to turn your laptop or your iPad into a laptop. Found this over at Information Week Hardware. And they have the Logitech Zag keyboard case, the Bidridge iPad laptop. That looks pretty cool. Looks like it really makes your it looks like a laptop for sure. The hinges and all that kind of stuff looks really cool. What else do we have? The Belkin keyboard folio and the Incase origami workstation. So if you're looking to do some if you use your iPad more as a laptop than your laptop, or if you use it more as a good portable device rather than your laptop, you're going to want to check that out. And what else is there? There's also the TouchFire screen top keyboard. So that's going to be pretty interesting. And the I Love Professional Workstation portfolio. So they've got a number of items here at Information Week Hardware Edition for you to check that out if you want to use the iPad for your premier usage portable device. Want to check that one out. All right, over at Digital Trends, they got an article basically saying if you're not ready for an electric car, what about getting an electric scooter? And if you have just a short commute that you have to go on, these might be the thing you want to get. I've seen a number of these Here in Elk Grove, over the past, I'd say 4 years, I've seen a significant increase in the use of scooters and motorcycles. And, you know, some of these electric scooters are really going to be, I think, a deal changer as it comes with, you know, over the next couple of years. With the price of gas going up and so forth. I mean, we're at, what, over $4 a gallon, coming up on $5 a gallon. And there's a couple really good electric versions of these scooters. I mean, you can go ahead and get the gas version or whatever, but I mean, and they're good on fuel as well, no doubt. I've seen a lot of, like I said, you know, increase in the motorcycles and the scooters, but electric scooters could really help this out. And there's a number of things. I'm going to have probably some items coming up in the blog this week. For that, and one of the companies I saw at CES, Trike, they came out with some good stuff here just recently. Really good pieces of equipment that, as a matter of fact, you know, they started off with the Trike itself. It's one of those, I don't want to say incumbent, recumbent, but you actually stand on it. It's a three-wheel device, Trike, right? And as you lean, you kind of rock it side to side, it starts going. And that's how you do the motion. You kind of push off with your feet, and this the foot pedals that you stand on, they kind of twist, really, as you turn. They kind of twist, and as you push off, kind of like when you're ice skating or roller skating, you kind of push out. Same kind of thing as what gives you your forward momentum. It's a great workout too, but they have an electric version. So I'll probably have that on the blog this week. What else did I have? I'm going to skip that one because I got a lot of stuff here. Microsoft is also pushing a home OS, a home automation system, and Microsoft could push home automation into reality. Now, Microsoft has published a white paper highlighting its own home automation model, how it will work. And it's dubbed the Home OS, as the home automation system will be a PC-like abstraction for homes. Microsoft explained that Home OS will feature electronic devices such as routers, PCs, consoles, smartphones, tablets, air conditioners, and other gadgets. So it kind of sounds like an ideal home situation, home automation situation. And from the Microsoft white paper, I guess the URL for that is now dead. It's not clear, though, if the Home OS is a Windows-based system or not, which I'm pretty much betting it is. However, the fact that it uses C# and the .NET 4.0 framework would suggest that it is, according to this article. And Microsoft also has been adamant about using a single source code since its retirement of Windows NT. So, not really sure how that's going to work out. But unknown to many, Microsoft has already been testing OS, the Home OS, in about 12 actual homes in the past 8 months. Also, new applications and devices were recently added to improve the system. It is important to note that the main purpose of the Home OS project is to simplify our already complicated life. Home OS is just one of Microsoft's own research projects, so therefore no guarantees that it'll ever actually become commercialized soon, but glad to see they're kind of working on that. You know, our lives have become more and more complex because we got more and more we have to do. Not we have to do, sorry. More and more stuff that we can do. You know, looking at how things were, gosh, back when I was a kid in the, you know, late 60s, early 70s. My gosh, we went out and played. We didn't have but maybe Pong, you know, in the mid 70s. Really. You know, now you're lucky if you had that. And then personal computers really, really didn't kick out until the 80s. If you were lucky, like me, and get one. But we used to go out, ride our bikes, go, you know, play in the dirt and go down, you know, wherever construction site was at the time. If they had ditches, we'd jump in those and have, you know, dirt clod fights, things like that. Not a lot of kids do that anymore, you know, too bad. You know, kids do need to get out. My kids need to get out more. I encourage it with them. But yeah, there's just a lot that we're stuck inside, not doing things, and our lives are more complicated, I think, because of technology, which it's great when technology helps, but when you have, you know, 8 billion channels on your cable system, you tend to want to sit there and keep surfing until you find something good, which there's never anything good. You can probably cut about 350 of your 400 channels out of your cable box, and you might have some of the best, and there's not always something great on, but at least you get the better channels. And, you know, personally, I try and avoid Facebook because I know that is a time killer. You get on Facebook, you know, 2 hours later, wow, you know, that goes by in a flash of a second. So, anyway, I'll get off that rant there. What else we got? Yeah, have you got, I guess there's going to be a Chromebook Google Drive integration coming soon, but have you got the new Google Drive? I did. I got Google Drive, and I guess it's kind of like any other cloud service where it actually put a folder onto my, put a folder onto my system to basically go ahead and have my documents offline, I guess. I don't know if it's available offline, but you know, I can go onto a folder here, search, you know, for whatever I'm looking for, bam, start it up, and it fires up in a browser. So I guess it's just thumbnails, I guess you would call it, or links back to your stuff. Pretty cool. I mean, it used to be, you know, Google Docs, and now it's just Google Drive. But I guess you can, you know, throw files up there. And if you really want, you know, you can pay an extra, like, what, $60 a year, I think it is, and go ahead and get up to, like, 25 gigabytes, something like that. Yeah, let me check on that. Yeah, with Google Drive, your first 5 gigabytes is free. You know, and it works with anything. PC, Mac, iPhone, iPad, Android devices. That's all pretty cool. And I guess if you want to go ahead and upgrade to 25 gigabytes, it's less than $2.50 a month. That's not bad. That's what? It's $2.50 a month. So $30 a year? That's not bad for 25 gigabytes. And if you want 100 gigabytes, that's $5 a month. So $60 a year, 100 gigabytes. That's four times what you can get for paying for it, original paying for it. And if you want, the 5 gigabytes free, you know, you get 5 gigabytes of G Drive, 10 gigabytes of Gmail, which I've got, and 1 gigabyte of Picasa. So there's 16 gigabytes worth of information you can have free with Google. Or if you want to pay 25 gigabytes, you get 25 gigabytes of storage plus 25 gigabytes. That's 25 gigabytes for G Drive and Picasa. And your email storage, your Gmail storage, would be upgraded to 25 gigabytes. So 50 gigabytes total there. And if you go for the 100, you get 100 gigabytes of G Drive and Picasa, and your Gmail goes up to 25 gigabytes as well. And if you need more storage, you can go up to 16 terabytes. So 200 gigabytes a month, $10. 400 gigabytes a month, $20. 1 terabyte, $50. 2 terabytes, $100 a month. 4 terabytes, $200. 8 terabytes, 400, and 16 terabytes is $800 a month. If you need to store 8 terabytes of information, or 16 terabytes of information, and you have $800 to spend a month, wow, you must have a lot of data. You must be doing some serious stuff. But man, that's the, you know, the $25 for, you know, or 25 gig for $30 a year, that's not bad. Gosh, Google's got us now, don't they? You know, they gave away everything for free, and now they're starting to creep in the pricing plans on stuff, but only if you're really a super user. So I guess that's good, because their stuff's pretty darn cheap. All right, what else do we got? Let's see, got that. Here's one of our Star Wars things here. If you need cable management, and my gosh, looking at my desk, who doesn't? And you're into Star Wars, how about this really cool DIY AT-AT? It's really just a cable organizer, but it's a little DIY project you can go ahead and put together in a weekend. And yeah, it's really pretty easy, man. You know, nuts and screws are all included, and you just go ahead and put this thing together. And I think, do we purchase it? Where are we going to get this from? Open that link in a new tab, because that's where I'll find out where this is coming from. From Copious. Looks like $40. Yeah, that thing's pretty cool. It's a cable organizer / card case. And looking at some of the different... God, that's funny. The legs are articulating simply. Yeah, very simple articulation, but... yeah, you can put a couple things in there, you know, your power cords maybe, or you just, I don't know. Looks like you can put a power strip in there. Yeah, it's a power strip. It looks British. But you can put any kind of power strip in there, I guess, and do your cable management through there. And there's a little spot for putting your business cards and things like that in the head. So that's pretty cool. For $40, that's not bad at Copious. I will have a link there for you. So that was pretty cool. $7 shipping, so it's $47 total. There's another thing about the space shuttle landing at JFK. What else we got? I guess Sony's got a smart wall outlet. It will recognize you and your appliances. So if you ever lived with roommates, battles over the electricity bill are probably old hat to you by now, and especially, you know, after all. You know, why do you want to pay for someone else's electricity when, you know, you're not doing it? So I guess they've come up with a new new outlet that'll recognize who you are, I guess. You plug your device into this smart dongle, I guess, or a smart device, and you go and plug that into the actual outlet. And so it's a proprietary no-contact RFID chip called Felicia Lite that will be built into a device's plug and communicate with a read-writer unit built into the outlet. The read-writer unit identifies the device and keeps track of its power consumption. In the case of an emergency or electrical shortage, the outlets will be available to turn off power to non-essential things that will keeping more important devices like healthcare equipment and food storage appliances powered on. So that might be a smart system for something like that, to where you've got a person who's using medical equipment like an oxygen generator or, you know, some sort of, you know, medical monitoring device. Those things would be spared in a power outage, or, you know, perhaps in a brownout or something like that, where, you know, other things will get turned off before that. Pretty cool. And especially like if you're doing, living with roommates and that kind of thing, you can tell who's using what on the bill. That'd be pretty cool. I don't know if it would come on your bill or if it would be integrated into, you know, a server on site or whatever. I don't know. But that looks like it's got some promise to it. Pretty cool. So that's going to be coming from Sony here one day. If you're interested in that, check it out. We will have the link. What else we have? Oh, yeah. My kids and I and the wife have been playing the slug bug game. If you're familiar with that, if you're going around and you see a Volkswagen bug, you spot it, you yell out slug bug, and if you can, you know, you punch your partner in the arm, because you spotted it first. Well, I guess ABT is introducing a 240 horsepower tuned VW Beetle. This thing looks cool. And I got this from over at Autoblog. And this is a serious, serious sports Beetle. It's got a 2-liter turbo engine. Or a 2-liter turbo, excuse me, that adds 40 horsepower to that engine. And it's got a front spoiler some serious wheels, anywhere from 18 to 20 inches you can get, and oval tailpipes helps boost the aggression, at least the visual. And this does look pretty good. It's got some good, nice racing stripes. I mean, if they put a 53 on the side of that thing, it would kind of look like a new Herbie. That's pretty sweet. And I tell you what, this is really slick device. It looks like it's an artist rendering of it, but it looks pretty cool. You want to check that out if you're a Volkswagen fan. So, yeah, that's pretty slick. Man, and I guess there's some other options you can go ahead and get for that as well, but a 240 horsepower Beetle, that is really kicking. All right, another Star Wars thing we got here from 7 Gadgets, one of my favorite places. It's a bathrobe from the Empire, you know, kind of like what the Emperor would wear. And it's a Star Wars Galactic Empire Hooded Deluxe Adult Fancy Dress Bathrobe. Yeah, you know, all the evil emperors will be wearing this summer, this spring, whatever, at the showers. I don't know. Looks pretty cool, and man, looks comfy, very very comfy, full length. Covers your arms, big sleeves, so you can kind of like, you know, hide your hands, hide your lightsaber. And it's hooded, very big hood, so you can cover your eyes, kind of like the Emperor did in Episode 6. He was always, you know, hidden and all that. Didn't do him too good. But anyway. And what else we have? Oh, is the last thing up? Yep, pretty much the last thing up here. Again, from Techie Blog, Zeco, Z-E-C-O-O, electric motorcycle. Looks to be something, it almost looks like a light cycle the way this thing is done. It is really slick. I like it. And it's called the Zeco. And it's an electric motorcycle that looks to be pulled straight from a futuristic anime or something like that. I think it looks like a light cycle, or what would possibly have been the precursor to a light cycle. It's an environmentally friendly machine. Takes about 4 to 6 hours to charge. Tops out at 75 miles per hour and has a driving range of 55 to 85 miles before needing to recharge. And the Zeco will be manufactured in limited quantities and priced about $70,000. No word available on the when it's going to come out, but if you want to take a look at this thing, and it looks like it's coming out of Tokyo somewhere, check it out. This thing is slick. That is a really nice looking bike. So, yeah, it doesn't say who's... It's Zeco is manufacturing it, so it's not one of your typical manufacturers of motorcycles. So, check that out. All right, that is going to be it. I want to give a shout out to my friend Shannon at work. She's the one that actually told me about the Windows Home Use program, and got to thank her for that, because now I got things installed and going to be using those. Really, really cool. And what else? I also want to thank from the Mike Tech Show. If you kind of noticed, yeah, my blog was screwed up here for a while. Especially if you use Chrome, you noticed it. Thursday before last, was on the Mike Tech Show. Mike mentioned some stuff that I had emailed him previously that week, and a couple of the listeners wanted to go to my website, check it out, but they used Chrome, and Chrome came, you know, setting up this big old red warning page, don't want to go here, there's malware at the site, and unfortunately, there was. I spent all last weekend trying to fix it. Well, I spent part of last weekend trying to fix it, and then decided, you know, I can't fix this. There's too many infections and too many pages. I can't scrub it. I just have to basically blow it all away, and then I'll be just putting it back. So erased everything, started back over from scratch, and put everything back together. All the posts and all that are still there. It was just I had to take out down the WordPress site. Put it back together, harden it. There was a malware injection that took care of. I've hardened the site since then, so things have been looking pretty good. But I want to thank Lee Bullis, which is Bull422 on the site, Katester, one of the huge contributors there to the Mike Tech Show in the chat, because that's where I met these guys, and Mike Smith himself. You know, they all emailed me within I'd say within about 36 hours from being on the chat room from Mike's show on that Thursday. And they're all warning me, hey, you know, we got problems here, you might want to check this out, and they're giving me information on, you know, what seems to be in there. So I found a site, got a report of what's going on, and then had to rebuild it. Yeah, so I want to thank those guys so much. I appreciate it very, very much. And all right, I love you guys. So, you know, that's going to be it. If you have anything you want to recommend to us, that, you know, anything we should be talking about, some cool tech that you're aware of, let me know. Just go ahead. Or if you have any questions or comments and you just want to email me, whatever, Norbert@totallycooltech.com or tctpodcast@gmail.com. If you like the show, please recommend us to a friend. All the show notes, links, and contact info are out there on the website at totallycooltech.com. And hey, if you know about, if you know about any cool tech, go ahead and send it in. Hey, you know what? If you want to do an audio thing, you can send that in. Just go ahead and email it to me at Norbert@totallycooltech or totallycooltech@gmail.com. Doesn't matter. Or you can go ahead and call the Totally Cool Tech podcast listener line at area code 540-999-TECH. Go ahead and check me out on Twitter. Just search for TCT Podcast. We're also out there on Google and Facebook, too. So, yeah, that's all there. Now, the Google Plus, I got to check that out. I got busted for not using my real name and using TCT Podcast. So I think I fixed that, and I put in for a Google Plus page or something like that. Kind of like a Facebook fan page, but talks about Totally Cool Tech. So I'll see. I gotta make sure that's working now correctly. But anyway, all right, everybody, that's it. I will see you next time.